All right, Cole, do you have any final words?
Fuck off.
Really? Those are your final words.
No. I just couldn't think of anything else on the fly.
Well, that's it for reviews. So I guess we made it through another one.
We did.
We did. It's been a long episode. A lot of news, a lot of reviews. At least it was fun, though. We had a good time, and that's all that matters.
I don't know why you're lying, but okay.
I do what I can when I must.
With it. I will lie along with you.
Yeah, but we made it through. So final game to discuss tonight is a preview of Waste Knots, developed and published by Raspberry Games. It's releasing, quote, soon, but not like too soon. It's on Kickstarter now through April 22nd. Gather your friends and jump down to the surface. Fight bots and smash them up for parts. Craft gear to help you survive in the wastes. Oh, and it's a card game. Those were the magic words, weren't they, Cole?
100%.
So tell us about a preview of Waste Knots.
So Waste Knots, in its current state, because it is a preview, there is a lot missing. you can tell that the game is just getting its feet on the ground. And it's not necessarily a bad thing in any regard, because, again, if you go into it right now, you're like, yeah, that's a preview, right? But the premise is basically you have a squad of divers and... I played this a few days ago. I'm doing my best. I'm doing my almost best.
you're doing your best for, you know, what you can after the shot. So,
yeah, I have a little bit of brain fog. I sat earlier for like several minutes trying to remember the word fine. anyway, you got to explore different areas. You're going to explore, get scrap, fight some card battles against some robots, get their scrap, and go back to camp, build out your deck a little more, do it again. Okay? As I said, in its current state, a little rough around the edges. There were a couple of cards that literally just said, temporary artwork here.
Well, you're going to run into that, I guess.
Yeah, but I appreciate their sense of humor about it. Like, even with the, you know, like you mentioned, the release date is like soon, but not too soon.
Yeah.
They're wearing it on their sleeve, and that's fine. I appreciate the humor. I really like the art style. Card Battler, I can't be mad at it. I do think I'm kind of torn because I play Card Battlers a lot, so I can get into them really quickly and pick them up. And I think... overall, they do an okay job of describing the mechanics of the game in its current state, but they could do a little better, and hopefully they will when it, you know, gets closer to release, do a little better explaining how those things are going to actually tie into the narrative of the game. Because right now, it's just like, okay, well, go find this person, get that scrap, do, you know, and it's like, okay, but why? And it was a little hard to play it as a preview and be like, I have no idea why anybody's doing anything.
Well, and I know that's kind of like a proof of concept right now. Yeah. It is to drive people to the Kickstarter, which we'll have a link to the Kickstarter in the description of the show notes on YouTube and whatever else. So check there and check out the project. Is this something that people should be investing in or dropping the money on?
I think if you're already into Card Battlers, you probably didn't wait for me to tell you you should be looking for this one, because it's actually really solid. It's, like I said, it's as a preview, proof of concept, however you want to refer to it, it's got its feet on the ground, and it's doing really well. But it can be a little frustrating to play it in its current state, because I review, you know, and I'm like, I want to tell you if this is good or bad, and it's a little harder to be like, just watch it. But you should if you're into it. Now, I don't feel like there's going to be anything about the game where if you aren't already into Card Battlers, it's probably not going to change your mind. And that's okay. But if you are a fan of the genre, you got something cool to look forward to.
Nice.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say about it, or any other words for the developers if they are listening, since it is on Kickstarter now? Anything you want to say?
Work on fleshing up that narrative a little bit. Make everybody a little fleshier. Make the story and the card battling a little more connected.
And hire Cole for your card art.
You know, whoever their artists are, they're killing it. They don't need me. I would just bring it down. I draw mushrooms and penises. I would just ruin things.
There you go, Raspberry Games. If you need mushrooms and penises,
or some mushrooms card art. Are just socially acceptable dicks. Yeah. So.
All right, well, last game to review tonight is called Radon Blast, developed and published by Entwickler X, Thomas Klaus, and Frank Menzel. Released March 31st on Xbox One for $4.99. Break bricks by using the ball. Get items like bonus, speed, and multiple balls to make the game more challenging. If you hit the force wall multiple times, it will be destroyed so you can reach the next stage. If you miss a ball, you go back to the previous stage, but hurry up, you only have seconds before the ball explodes. I didn't run into an exploding ball, but it might be because I played on kids.
Cole? I was about to say, if you played it on kid mode then, because that's the way I played it on kid, normal, and hard. Normal was a little more forgiving, but that ball will still fuck up. And I was so confused because I started off playing it on normal. And you were like, oh, it was like an hour completion. It was super easy. And I'm sitting here like dying on the fourth level repeatedly. And I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about?
I didn't tell you I played on. I mean, that should have been obvious that I played on kids mode.
I guess it should have been. In my head, I was like, if it's full on called kid mode, it probably disables achievements.
No.
It doesn't. You can beat it that way. And that leads me to really what amounts to my only complaint. I don't like when easy mode is called kid mode, because that's easy mode is not just something that lazy adults and kids need. It is an accessibility feature. And so when you call an easy difficulty a kid mode, it kind of infantilizes the people who need that difficulty. So that's my soapbox for the day. Change it to easy, call it a thing, and move on. But that's, I mean, it's not the end of the world. It's just one of those things where you're like, I don't want to be called a kid. But, you know, if you play it on kid mode, it does take away the threat of the ball exploding after so many screens. If you play it on normal, you have a little bit of time to get it to back up and try again, as long as you hit it before it starts to shake too fast, because the ball like will glow red and shake when it's about to go boom. As long as you have to hit it with the paddle, though. If you just let it keep hitting whatever bricks you've left behind, once it's gone backward, it will not give a fuck. You have got to hit it with the paddle to reset that timer and let it start going forward again. Which is a nice challenge. Don't get me wrong. If you're not trying to like speed run it for achievements and you want to play it, you know, and have a little bit of dignity under your belt.
Are you saying that me beating the game on kid mode doesn't give me any dignity?
Once I figured out what was going on with the difference between kid and normal, I did it on kid mode too. But
I mean, I did my time. I beat the game. I didn't just hit 40 and stop. I beat the game.
My dignity comes from the fact that I beat it faster than you.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, because you said 1 hour and 16 minutes, right?
Yeah.
I did it in 1 hour and 3.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I didn't just beat you. I smashed.
To my credit, a lot of that is random. A lot of it, like the physics, the ball physics in this game are very, it's overused on this show, but they're very unique to me.
It was a unique experience.
It feels like the ball is attracted to the bricks and not the wall at the back.
Yeah.
Normally, like in these games, you'll hit the ball and it just goes on its own set path of where it's going. Where in this game, it feels like you hit the ball and it's going to hit a brick. Mm-hmm. It's going to damage something. So you're not just sitting there bouncing a ball off of a wall 20 times, not hitting any bricks. It feels like they reworked the physics so that you're always targeting a brick in this game. So,
but that is kind of important because that's how you actually get score.
It is. And to help with that or to hinder with that, depending on how you're looking at it, Once you clear all of the bricks of a certain color, they regenerate.
They come back. That was a harsh lesson to learn. There were a few times, remember, like I said, on normal, I got stuck on level 4 for a while. And it was because I was learning the hard way. It was trial by fire. And that the bricks were getting knocked out, and then they'd come back, and I was like, no. On the other hand, though, there are times where you want to get that ball stuck on the far end of the screen, and you just luck out, and it hits the last one of a color, and then it's stuck over there, has no choice but to hit the wall 10 times. And you're like, well, see ya, bitch. And then it goes on. So it's not always a disaster for it to happen, but it certainly can be.
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting mechanic, and I like that they did something different in this game.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a problem if it happens when you're in that phase where you need to hit the ball to reset it, though, and not lose your time.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you have to start over. All over. Ask me how I know. Ow. Don't ask. You can tell.
No, you said to ask, so I'm asking.
You know how, like, a war vet shell shock just stares off when you ask them about NAM?
Are you having flashbacks?
Yeah.
Well, the bright side is the game is only $5.
Oh, really?
Yeah, $4.99.
You know what? I think an hour and 3 minutes for $5 is pretty damn good. Yeah, I give it a buy it. I like Pong games anyway, and I like that this is just kind of a Pong / brick breaker that just, it just works.
Yeah, I really like the fact that if you get far enough into the game, because I told you I did this, at least on kids mode, again, I'm just sticking with kids mode because that's what I played on. Mm-hmm. You get far enough in there and you can just set the controller down and walk away.
It's funny you said that because I didn't do it. I actually just played through. Then I guess that's why I beat it 13 minutes faster.
Yeah, because I set the controller down for like 15 minutes and just let the game go. Because
I can see how it would work. Yeah.
Because you're 20 stages in, you have 20 stages to go back before you actually lose a ball. And yeah. There's just so many other bricks that statistically the chances of actually going back 20 stages and losing that ball are so small that I actually went forward a stage after 10 minutes.
Damn.
Yeah, but yeah, I can agree on a buy it. Really cool game, especially at only $5.
Yep,
so cool stuff. All right, next game to talk about is called Middleborg City of Mages, developed by Armature Games, published by Samustai Limited, released April 2nd on Xbox One for $8.99. Middleborg is the heart of this wonderful, or is the heart of this world. Oh my god, I can't talk tonight. It's been a long show. And thousands of swords are aimed at it. Monster.
You good over there?
Nope. Monsters, nomads, mercenaries, living deads, and rebellious spirits. Chaos does not sleep and besieges the universe. Collect resources, get ready for tempests, keep guards on the walls and mages at the towers. While lots of blood are spilt. Yes, while lots of blood are spilt. Remember what is at stake. It is better to shed a gallon of blood than lose a single leaf from the tree of order. Paul, tell us about Middleborg, City of Mages.
I would like to start off by saying that according to True Achievements, I am the first person to complete this game and also the only person to have played it yet.
GG.
So I am the fucking greatest, and you may all throw rose petals at my feet virtually from a distance. I might have got my COVID shot, but I ain't trying to get COVID. So Middleborg. So, I don't know. Borg.
Yeah, B-O-R-G. Middleborg.
Words. I'm not sure if anybody remembers. Well, nobody listens. But if anybody listens and they remember when I reviewed a game called 50 Years. 50 Years was a strategy game where.
Oh, Carnage is saying that Dwaggy beat ya.
Okay, but I have the screenshot that proves otherwise. I've actually had True Achievements do that a few times where I beat somebody and then like it updates later and they're like, no, this person beat you by like 3 seconds. And you're like, come the fuck on.
Yeah.
anyway, 50 Years was a strategy game where it was just kind of point and click, and events would pop up and you dealt with them through options whenever they happened. I was expecting Middleborg to be a bit more of that, but a little more intensive. And in a way, it kind of is, but it doesn't completely reach the wish list. You have a static screen, mostly static. It has a few dynamics we'll talk into in a minute. But you can see your village. You can see your barrier around it, your wall. You can see the tree, and there are a couple of buildings and a couple of flags waving in the breeze. The flags are where you can build more buildings to help you out later on as you collect ether. The existing building is where your mages are kept. Now, what I was expecting from the description of Middleborg was that I would have to, like, actually handle armies and make decisions for where armies were going to be placed and things like that. That's not what happens. This is far more pared down than that. And the only, what's the word I'm looking for? The only unit you actually have any control over is the mages. I can't word. It's already, like, broke my brain from
the word. It's okay.
The blood are spilled. So, yeah. But you have control of the mages. You start off with two, and then your option is to move them around to the different buildings, depending on what event is going to happen. You have a period of serenity where you can spend the ether you've collected, or that you start with in the very beginning. Your ether can be spent to upgrade your buildings and unlock additional abilities through those buildings. For the mages, each building will have... they'll start off with one slot where you can send one mage to it. Once you upgrade it, you may be able to send two, and eventually you can send three. The mages have different abilities depending on which building you've sent them to. So if you send one to the Tower of Light, they'll give you an additional protection against magic attacks. If you send one to the gate, that gives you additional protect against actual physical attacks. If you send one to the... what the game calls the Catcher of the Wind, which is basically just a windmill. Why they tried to make that more complicated, I will never know. But if you send it to the windmill, then you'll get additional ether when you come across wind events.
The Catcher of the Wind.
Catcher of the Wind. Sounds real regal. It sounds really complicated to explain. And I had a really tough time getting started with the game. And then it just kind of clicked, and I beat it in, like, a blink of an eye. I didn't realize I was doing it. I was just like, oh, I beat it. Yay. In fact, I'll tell you what. I sat for maybe an hour without a single achievement. And then, in, like, 30 minutes, I unlocked 32 of the 38 achievements.
Wow.
Without even looking at the list. And I was like, oh.
They made it rain on you at the end.
They really did. It was just like, and it's not even that it takes that long to get to that point. That, like, it's not like all the achievements just unpop at the end. It's just that I was so fucked up on my first couple runs and struggling to get it. And then all of a sudden I just figured it out. And then they just kind of all started pouring in and I felt like an idiot. I'm blaming the fact that I had my shot today and that I was just, like, laying on the couch kind of playing like, barely functioning. But anyway, that's the period of serenity when you're using up your ether, planning where your mages are currently at. You'll hit a button and then you'll start each tempest phase. And the tempest phase is when shit hits the fan in the game. You can't purchase anything, can't go to the market, can't use your ether except to add points to heal the barrier or your guards. You are locked the fuck down when it's Tempest mode. Your Oracle can tell you that certain events are going to happen. So, for example, if the Oracle says that this is a red Tempest, you can expect more physical attacks. You know during the red Tempest that no matter what happens, there is going to be one of the days out of ever how many are for that Tempest phase, one of them is going to be a red attack. Now, what happens on the others depends on the level of your Oracle, if you can figure it out or not. Otherwise, you just kind of got to guess through it. As you progress, you'll unlock additional phases and Tempest events. There's the White Tempest, for example, where you are guaranteed to have what's called a lull day. And then you can send your mages outside of the city to go and explore. When you do this, you're basically like presented with a map with rings on it. And you just pick which ring you're going to send a Tempest to. You don't get to see anything cool. But events will pop up and you get to decide. I don't particularly hate that. I like the simplicity of it. It's just like, hey, we found somebody. Are you going to save them or kill them? And I'm like, well, sucks to be them today. I'm in a bad mood, so everybody's got to die. And then either a good, you know, you get a good reaction or a bad one. I tried very early on to approach the game with like my typical persona, which is I'm overwhelmingly optimistic and I want to save everybody and just have like this little utopia. And
I thought your usual play style was Agent of Chaos.
It does happen. And I will tell you, I learned really quickly that overwhelmingly joyful side of me that was trying to peek through today, it got me a case of a plague and shit went bad and I had to revive and start over with a new mayor.
Oh, geez.
And so after that point, I was just like, well, fuck it. Chaos it is. And surprisingly, that worked out better.
Nice.
until I still could afford the scroll that told me if I was going to get the good reaction or the bad one. And then I just did what the scrolls told me.
Well, $9 on Mittelborg, City of Mages. What are you thinking of this one?
So I really enjoyed the game. Far more than I thought I was going to, especially when I first started playing it. I was like, oof, what have I gotten into? Because I was fucking up real bad. I was like, I'm going to struggle. But once I got the hang of it and started to learn how to like predict what events were going to come and how to prepare for them, I started to enjoy it more. So don't be put off by the game if you think you're not going to be good at it. Just understand that there's a learning curve. So for that, I'm going to go with like a really recommended try it. You already got to have at least a foot in the door in the point and click strategy shit anyway, or you're just going to be bored because there's not any like blood, teeth, hair, and eyeballs everywhere kind of thing. So you have to already know like, yeah, I can tolerate just clicking some answers, right?
Yeah.
But if you can, and you like that strategy and trying to predict what's going to happen and what your outcome's going to be, you're going to have a good time.
Cool. Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is Lost Words Beyond the Page, developed by Sketchbook Games, published by Modus Games. This one is releasing April 6th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $14.99. Interact with the words inscribed in the pages of a young girl's diary to solve challenging puzzles, tackle unique platforming segments, and discover an emotional tale set across the vibrant world of Astoria and Lost Worlds Beyond the Page. Cole, tell us about your time with Lost Words.
This was a unique experience that reminds me exactly of another game.
Okay.
No, not exactly. There's definitely some similarities in some parts of the game to Max and the what is it? Curse of the Brother? Curse of the Brotherhood? Is it? What the fuck is that game where you have Max and you have a little crayon and you gotta like
Max Curse of Brotherhood? Yeah.
Is it? Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I played it a long time ago. But when I
played
it
like 2 weeks ago because it was recently a quest for Game Pass.
I think I've got all but one achievement in it. I need to go back and get that one. Anyway, yeah, there's some elements of Lost Words that reminded me of that. And I was not disappointed about that. I was like, oh, this is wonderful. you start off the game playing as a young girl named Izzy, and you only get Izzy's perspective via her journal. So Izzy is kind of represented on the screen as a small paper character, and you can move her about the journal pages, and she does some platforming over the words. You get to have a little bit of say over which words go into the stories. Izzy dreams of being a writer. She's very close to her grandmother. And the story that she is writing parallels her experience following her grandmother's stroke. So she's, you know, a young child trying to process something that's obviously can be very devastating for a child who's very close to a family member like that. And she's writing it along with this story. The character in the story, you get to choose their name, you get to choose, you know, the color of her dress and various little personality quirks about her that kind of pop up throughout the game to remind you that, hey, yeah, you dictated this story. It's a really nice touch. I don't want to give away any of the narrative, so that's where I'm going to leave that at. When you are playing as the character that you create for the story, in mine, I chose the name Georgia for her. So when I was playing as Georgia, you're actually in a more 2D world where it has that 3D look to it. It feels more substantial. It's not just words written on a page that you're walking across. There's an actual environment and the level layout. Georgia in my story, whatever you choose is fine, but she was Georgia for me, has her grandmother's book, and her village has been destroyed, and she is on a quest to recollect the fireflies to save her village. Now, in order to do that, you must use words inside of Georgia's book to interact with the world around her. So let's say that you are moving along a platform area and you need to go down in a tunnel, but you can't because there is a block in your path. You can pull the left trigger to open the book, click on the word break, and then move that over the block and the block will break. So there is no combat. There is no, like overwhelming puzzles to solve, but you do have to navigate the world using the words in the book. The words that you have can change depending on the level. Sometimes words are forgotten, as the story might dictate, and sometimes you can learn new temporary words. So this leads to some really interesting ways that you can interact with the world. I was often having to switch between words like rise and break, and my favorite was just ignore. If something was going to hurt, she could just ignore it. And I love that the little girl had that kind of power, that she was just like, fuck it, don't care, and could just go. I thought it was a really wonderful message. My youngest daughter, she hasn't got to play it yet, but she has it on her list for this weekend. She's really looking forward to it. But she was watching me when I played, and she just kept going on about how cool she thought that the little girl in the story was, because she could just do all these things. She's like, she's just so brave. And she was really into it, and it was really adorable to see. I've been waiting for Lost Words for a long time. I've been following the Twitter account for what seems like years. and really looking forward to this game. And I am glad to say that it did not disappoint me.
Nice.
Yeah.
So $15 on it, your thoughts?
It is an absolute buy it. And I would like to give them bonus points, because there's an achievement for finding all the fireflies. And I got to the end and I had 112 out of 120. So I'd somehow managed to miss 8. And I was sitting there as the credits rolled, and I was like, if I can't go back and get those, I'm going to cry. And I got to the main menu, and I was like, I can't go back and get them. And I went ahead, and I pressed the start button, and it was like, you've unlocked chapter select. And I went, fuck yes, you're saved. Because I really was going to be upset if I had to come on here and say there was no chapter select. But yeah, no.
You've been saying that a lot lately. There's been a lot of games without chapter select lately.
We've just, please, all games should have chapter select. That's just all there is to it. especially if you're going to have missable chapter-related achievements. Yeah. So thank you, Lost Words. You did not let me down.
Well, all right. Well, next game to talk about is Genesis Noir, developed by Feral Cat Den, published by Fellow Traveler. Feral Cat Den.
That sounds like our houses.
Developed by my house. Published by Fellow Traveler. Released March 26th on Xbox One, Switch, and Epic Game Store for $14.99. You play as No Man, a watch peddler caught in a love triangle with other cosmic beings, Miss Mass and Golden Boy. When your affair turns into a bitter confrontation, you'll witness a gunshot fired by a jealous god, otherwise known as the Big Bang. Jump into the expanding universe and search for a way to prevent or destroy creation and save your love. Cole, what is this game? Because it sounds weird.
It is weird and obtuse and odd and incredibly artsy-fartsy. So, you know, it's up my alley. This is my shit. The game is entirely in black and white with bits of gold or yellow. More gold than yellow, but sometimes it looks a little yellowy. It's gold.
The color of moonlight.
Yeah, but it kind of just doesn't look... Listen, Joe, I have a paint color called Moonlight, and it's purple. Okay? It's not moonlight, it's gold. Anyway, it's really lovely. I like the minimal aesthetic of the entire game. The art is not bad in any way. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to go there. It's definitely a choice, and it's meant to be very cartoonish and kind of weird. And again, it's just artsy-fartsy, and it's not a bad thing at all. I like that kind of shit. There are definitely people who don't. And I know plenty of people who were like, what is this? And they felt very frustrated because the narrative kind of just carries out as cinematics. There's no dialogue or anything like that. So it can be a little hard to keep up with the story and easy to find yourself going, what the fuck just happened? But I think they kind of want you to feel like, what the fuck just happened? especially in certain scenes. I don't want to give that away, though. Anyway, it's meant to be a little odd. I will say the controls are not as tight as they could be. There are certainly some issues where
drop it, bitch!
You have to have far more perfect accuracy with the controller than should ever be required in a game. To the point that I got frustrated, downloaded it on the computer, and played it on the computer instead.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. No Time for Games dropping 175 biddies. Thank you. Hugs,
that's not 66.
Hearts.
Get out of here. No. Fuck out. But yeah, it's an odd little narrative game, but it's really well done. And I would just like to see a little more forgiveness with regards to the controls.
Well, $15. What do you think?
I'm going to go with a try it. This is not a game for everybody. Every time I've heard
Game Pass, isn't it?
It is. And that's why I'm okay more on the try side. Like, if you think you're interested at all and you got Game Pass, there's no sweat in trying it out.
Just fucking play it.
But if you're not, if you don't have Game Pass, first off, what the fuck are you doing with your life? Second off, you know, it could be a little tougher sale if you're not already into these more obtuse, unusual games.
Cool. All right. Well, first game for you to talk about tonight is called Overcooked All You Can Eat, developed by Ghost Town Games and Team 17, published by Team 17, released March 23rd on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and Steam for $39.99, previously available on PS5 and Series X and S. Overcooked, Overcooked 2, and all additional content are blended together and remastered in this delicious definitive edition. Enjoy hundreds of levels of cooperative cooking chaos across increasingly perilous and obscure kitchens. Cole, you love Overcooked. What do you think of the bundle of everything?
It's perfect, and I love it. Also, I forgot in Overcooked 1 that you can't throw things, because it's been a really goddamn long time since I played Overcooked 1. And my first achievement in the game was for trying to throw shit in Overcooked 1 and you can't. And I was like, now they're just mocking me. I tried to press X. It didn't work. And then I looked at it and I was like, what? And number one's like, duh, you can't in the first one. So I felt like dumb. But I got an achievement for my dumb, so it's fine.
Nice.
Everything's been remastered. It looks all lovely and 4K goodness. And I got to really push the limits of my Xbox Series X here with one of my favorite games ever. And I was really happy. Everything's just so bright and pretty. And you get to have access to all of the chefs. So I got to play as a unicorn right out of the gate. Fuck yeah. I have no complaints here, other than it mocked me for being dumb. I will say, number one and I tried to play online, and we did have some trouble setting up the Team 17 accounts. Was easy, crossplays open. It's a thing you can do. We did not try crossplay, but it is an option. But we were having trouble playing online on two separate Xboxes. I think that's an Xbox problem, though, and not an Overcooked problem. Xbox has been having some issues lately. So I don't
think... I tried accessing the store a couple times this week, and I've been running into issues.
Yeah. So Xbox services have been, like, lately...
The hackers are back.
Yeah, that's... I know I've been getting spam messages out the wazoo. So I don't think my issues playing Overcooked was at all an Overcooked problem. I think it was just Xbox was having issues. And that's fine. I am so happy that there is online play now available if you want to play Overcooked 1 that way, because when it originally released, you couldn't do that. It was couch co-op only. And I love my kids, but I like to play with my friends more. So.
Wow.
Honesty is best policy. And so it's nice to actually be able to play with other adults who I can yell, fucking get the fucking soup! Because I can't yell at my kids that way, legally.
I mean, you can. They're just words.
Yeah, legally. Without people getting upset about it. So yeah, it's nice.
He said, fuck it, her child.
Fucking deal. It's nice to have all that.
Well, if the little fuckers would behave.
It's nice to have all that extra availability. Also, accessibility. They changed the dialogue box overall, but they also added dyslexia text, which is nice. And I am 100% on board for that. And they also made it to where you can adjust the subtitle size. So go Team 17 and everybody behind Overcooked, because that was great. I like accessibility.
Nice. Anything else you want to say about it?
I fucking love it, and I think everybody should buy it.
Well, I didn't ask if your verdict. So I'll just ask just your verdict. $40. What do you think?
To say about it, Joe. Like, it's two whole ass games and all their DLC and extra goodies, and you can play it online. This is what Overcooked was meant to be. It's like the ultimate definitive edition for Overcooked, and it's wonderful.
Nice.
And I'm so happy.
So your official verdict?
Fucking buy it.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. First game to talk about tonight is an email review from Serlina for Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2, developed by Vicarious Visions, published by Activision, released March 26th on Xbox Series X and PS5 for $49.99. Drop back in with the most iconic skateboarding games ever made. Play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 in one epic collection rebuilt from the ground up in incredible HD. All the Pro Skater's levels and tricks are back and fully remastered, plus more. Again, Serlina wrote in a review. This is what she's got to say. Greetings, SML friends and fam. It is I, Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 for the Xbox One and other platforms. Developed by Vicarious Visions and published by Activision, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 is a beloved return to the series that originally debuted back in 1999 on the PlayStation. Oh my god. 1999. Some of you weren't even born back then. Insane, right? Let's get on to the review.
High school.
I was too.
Oh. Shit.
I graduated in 99.
Oh yeah, because you're older than me. Get fucked.
Disclaimer, I played the original game from way back from the Wayback Machine, so I remember, this game. The first thing that really got to me was the opening scene, seeing all the skaters that I grew up watching, and some of them aren't around anymore. It just really hit me in the feels. It was also exciting to see the newer skaters in the opening as well. One of them was Nyjah Houston, and I was like, I've been watching him since he was 12. Damn, I'm old. Still, it was quite heartwarming. Yeah, Nyjah Houston, I've been watching him for a long ass time too. Oh my god. Oof. Getting old sucks. Two things absolutely need to be said. This is a massive game. It is also ridiculously technical and difficult, so nothing was really lost from the originals to the remaster in terms of gameplay. It'll take everything you have to master this game, so don't even try. Just play it and have fun. You'll bail a lot. Don't even worry about it. Nice little touches on the bails, though, is that your character will wince a bit in pain, as well as hold the back or hold the body part that took the brunt of the impact. My character is sure to have back pains after this. Let's talk about the characters for a moment. So you can choose from the classic skaters or the new skaters. Each skater will have their own stats, which determine what they're better at. Ironically enough, Tony Hawk himself is a pretty good character to start off with, as his stats are fairly in the middle. Some skaters are better at verts, others are better at grinding stuff. Mess around and pick a skater whose playstyle you mesh with. There's like 20 to choose from, so hopefully you'll find one. Or you can just say fuck all that and make your own skater, which is awesome. Really enjoyed making my character. The only issue I had was figuring out how to make my skater a girl. As it turns out, if you want the boobies, you have to pick the face that looks like a girl. There are other customization options for the body, but they're fairly limited, which is disappointing. I personally would have liked more tattoos and piercings. What's not limited is clothes, accessories, skateboards, wheels, and even little thingies that the wheels are attached to. Plenty of choice there, and even more choice as you earn money that you can spend in the skate shop, so that's pretty nice. Let's get to the gameplay. As I said earlier in the review, this game is hard. Fun, but hard. I highly suggest you spend some time in the tutorial just to get a feel for everything. Plus, Tony's narrating the tutorial, and it's always nice to hear his voice. You can just skip all that and play, but I don't recommend it, as the game doesn't care one bit about your skill level. You will do what it wants, in order to progress, or you won't progress. It's that simple. One thing that should be noted is you can't skip from Pro Skater 1 to Pro Skater 2. You have to beat the challenges in order to do that. I don't mind that so much, but someone else might, so it's important to mention it. Let's talk about the skate moves. Again, this game is real technical, which I appreciate. You'll pick up the lingo fairly quickly, and just know that everything stems from your jump, i.e. the ollie. You can't do much without the ollie, so perfect that. I really, really like the physics of doing the moves. Everything looks right, and that was awesome. I wasn't a fan of every little bump knocking your skater off the board. I was like, do you not know how to balance? That was just a scrape. This should also let you know how many walls I ran into.
That sounds like me just trying to walk.
Yeah. Speed's an issue here. There's no real way to slow down. It's only stop, go, and go faster. I was not a fan of that, especially considering I hadn't played the game in almost 20 years. So to my knowledge, is fairly basic. Sad, but true. There's a lot to do in the game, not just because it's two games in one, but there's also challenges to beat, even multiplayer where you can challenge your other skaters to a skater duel. I don't know if there's a word for that, but there should be. I can't forget the very best thing about this game is the music. All of the songs you know and love are still here, and I was filled with nostalgia and angst, lots of teenage angst. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater is available right now, and should you buy it, you absolutely should. This remaster should have happened a long time ago. It's so great to have the skate lifestyle back in the forefront. Yes, it's hard. Yes, you may cry, but you'll have fun crying to a fantastic soundtrack, and what else can you ask from a game?
Drop it, bitch!
The timing on that was fucking amazing, by the way. Thank you, Latino Heat, for dropping 100 biddies. Thank you so much. Like, the sound clip played immediately after I finished talking.
Fucking yeah!
And no time with the sub. Thank you so much. Dropping Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2, yeah.
It was a gifted sub.
Oh, it was a gifted sub by you.
Yeah, yeah.
I just saw the sub pop up.
I want my glory, you motherfucker.
Cole, thank you for the gifted sub.
Welcome.
Fucking yeah. Yeah, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2, I fired it up on the Xbox Series X so I could get a handle of how good it looked and how well it played. It is super smooth. Unfortunately, my TV doesn't support 120 frames per second, so I couldn't try that out. But playing it in the whatever standard video version I have, it looks great. It plays great. The load times are super, super quick. I was impressed with how quick it loaded. Nice. I didn't get to put as much time into it as I wanted because there was a really bad glitch the past week where people who upgraded from with the deluxe edition digital version of the game to the new version, the game would freeze up. Like there was like for half a week, I couldn't access the game at all. It would just lock up. It has been patched, has been fixed. I was playing earlier today. I put a few hours into it and it is the same Tony Hawk that you know and love. And it just looks better. It plays better. And at $50, I can agree that it is worth checking out.
Okay.
But yeah, it is time for reviews. Are you ready?
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's get it over with. Bitches want to go to bed.
All right. Final bit of news this week is 505 Games has bought the IP for Ghost Runner for 5 million euros. Did you hear about that?
I didn't. Holy fuck.
Yeah, 505 Games now owns the IP for Ghost Runner, and they're apparently bringing it to Series X and PS5 later this year.
Nice.
Yeah. I forgot to ask. Did you have any news?
No.
No.
Fuck, nobody gives a fuck what I got to say anyway.
True.
Oh, I did have one little bit of news. It was random and it was completely not related to video games other than the connection I made myself.
Okay, well, throw it in here.
The Cincinnati Zoo had a baby owl born and they did a March Madness style naming bracket. And the winning name for the little white baby owl is Ori.
Oh.
Yeah.
What was the runner up?
Hermes.
Not bad.
So I'm glad Ori won.
At least it wasn't like Owlie McOwlson or something.
Yeah. No, a lot of the names were like Norse mythology and comic book type names, and so they were. It was nice that I think even Ori winning, it was recommended because of its of a mythology reference and not the game. But it was good enough for me. I was like, yeah. Yay!
Win-win.
Yeah.
Take the victories where we can get them. Another victory that gamers have is Insomniac's
fucking yeah!
Carnage with the sub. Look at this shit. 0 month streak hype. We have a hype train going on. I think that's the first time I've ever had a hype train go on in my channel. Oh my god, what happens now?
People are supposed to keep giving you money.
Oh, don't do that. Fuck that. No.
And it goes up and then like we get stuff.
It's at 69%. Nice. Yeah, just leave it there. We don't have to fuck with that. Insomniac's 2016 Ratchet and Clank, which was recently just given away as part of Sony's Play at
Home
program.
Drop it, bitch!
Son of a bitch.
I did it.
Raider Biz, thank you for 100 biddies. And Cole, thank you for 500 biddies.
Yeah.
Holy shit. You just earned a new bit badge.
Drop it, bitch!
Looks, I don't know what it looks like.
We're on level 2 hype train now.
Oh, I don't what fucking do we... show anyway because I'm the gifter. Good enough.
Son of a bitch.
Can I ban him?
Yes. Insomniac's 2016 Ratchet and Clank, which was recently just given away as part of Sony's Play at Home campaign, just got an update on the PS5 for 60 frames per second.
Nice.
So if you got that free, which you should have because it was free, and you have a PS5, which you probably don't because no one has a fucking PS5 except Purnell and he didn't open his.
You have one.
Yeah, and Tim has one too.
Yeah.
So they're getting more common.
They're still garbage though.
Yeah, they're okay. I like it more than the PS4.
Well.
And I have a lot of history with the PS4. I have a lot of hatred for that system.
That is so true. I was thinking it's kind of a low bar, but yeah, okay.
It takes,
I'll allow it.
It'll take a lot to beat the PS4. But some other news. Reports are stating that Bloober Team is no longer looking to be acquired. So there were rumors earlier this year, or no, was it later last year, about Bloober Team possibly looking to get picked up by someone, and there were talks that Microsoft might have been a contender, but it looks like they're going to stay independent, and they're looking at possibly maybe making an acquisition of themselves now.
Oh, shit.
So they might expand. Hopefully, this means the medium did really well.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope.
And then there's reports that they might be teaming up with a legendary horror IP for one of their next projects.
Silent Hill type game.
Yeah, the rumblings have been Bloober Team taking on Silent Hill. I don't know how accurate those rumors are, but that would be pretty cool.
Can I be honest?
Sure.
I've never played Silent Hill.
There's a lot of them. I didn't see the movie either.
Like, I'm completely unfamiliar with that franchise.
Well, check out some of the old games. Some of them are playable on Xbox One and Series X.
That is true.
Anyway, after previously stating that the Marvel Cinematic Universe costumes in the Avengers would be used for rewards as a future event, Square is instead only selling them.
Color me surprised.
On their store with premium currency only. You cannot earn them. You have to buy them. And they average out to about $14 a pop for a fucking costume.
Are we surprised? Are we pretending like we didn't see that coming?
I had hopes.
Well, I don't know why.
it honestly feels like Square is doing everything they can to sabotage this game at this point.
Yeah.
it blows my mind the lengths that they're going to just fuck this game in every possible way.
Yeah.
Breaking promises with the skins.
Maybe they don't like working on it. They just went out from under it.
Who knows?
They just wanted to die.
Who knows? They supposedly have a roadmap for the year of things they're planning to do. Spider-Man is apparently still in the works as well, so PlayStation gamers will get that maybe one of these years. I don't know. It just feels like such a... Like, I don't know. It feels like they're sabotaging it. It really does.
Yeah. That's a shame, though.
Yeah. Oh, well, hot on the heels of 2K acquiring HB Studios and signing Tiger Woods, EA just announced that EA Sports PGA Tour will be returning to next-gen consoles. It will feature the PGA Tour, the Players' Championship, the FedEx Cup playoffs, and it will be developed by EA Tiburon. So, PGA Tour is coming back from EA.
Hmm.
Last one was Rory.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's nice to see golf games getting some recognition again. I love my golf games.
Sure.
I know you don't care, but I
could not give less of a fuck about golf if I tried.
Yeah.
And I'm trying.
The hype train was a success with 2 subs and 700 biddies.
Yay.
Hot diggity, choo-choo. Got an emote.
Yay.
My God, Twitch, you're weird. choo-choo. It has been confirmed that the PlayStation Store for PS3 and PSP will shut down on July 2nd, PS Vita on August 27th, and PS Vita's messaging function will also end on June 28th. So if you have a PS3, PSP, or PS Vita, and you don't have anything newer, it's time to upgrade.
Yep.
It's been time to upgrade, to be fair. It's been way overdue, but now would be a really good time to, pick up a PS4.
You are now in danger.
It sucks that they're closing those stores.
It does.
It's just shit. Yeah, Descenders coming this summer to PS Vita. That was their April Fool's joke on Twitter. And it's sad because the Vita was still getting actual releases.
Yeah.
Like they were small indies.
There were games planned for it.
Yeah. And now the Vita's just dying. The Vita Hebroxia is officially dead.
Hebroxia 2 was supposed to come out for it.
Who knows anymore? Following up the shock of PAX East 2021 being canceled, Summer Games Done Quick will once again be an online event.
Hmm.
So PAX East and Summer Games Done Quick, both, I basically scrapped. PAX is just gone, and SGDQ will be online once again, which is good. I still love watching those.
Yeah. It's a shame that PAX is just like, well, pack it in.
Pack it up, pack it in.
Yep. Sad face.
Oh, well. Big news of the week, I would say, is probably the PlayStation Plus and Games with Gold lineups were announced for April. Mm-hmm. PlayStation Plus, pretty good. Games with Gold, pretty not good.
Yeah, that seems to be the path we're on.
Yeah, we'll start with PlayStation Plus. Another really, really solid month for PlayStation Plus. On the PS4, they're going to be getting Days Gone and Zombie Army 4 Dead War.
Okay.
Two solid games. A lot of people are kind of pissed that Days Gone is already part of the PS Plus collection on PS5. So it's like everyone basically has it already if you have PS Plus.
Yeah.
So they're kind of double dipping on that one. But Zombie Army 4 is pretty good.
Also, people didn't like it.
What, Days Gone or Zombie Army 4?
Days Gone. Zombie Army 4, if anybody says they didn't like that, they need punched in the nose.
I want the Zombie Army 4 Collector's Edition so fucking bad, and it is so impossible to find.
Mm.
It had a zombie shark figure.
Yeah.
I want it.
The zombie shark part is awesome, too.
I want it so bad.
Good luck.
And then on the PS5, PS5 only is Oddworld Soulstorm. The PS4 version is not included in the PS Plus lineup. It is the PS5 version only, but Oddworld Soulstorm, PS Plus. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I was going to buy that, and now I don't have to buy that. I'm excited. That saves me money. I was looking forward to Oddworld, too.
Yeah.
That was one of the games I bought a PS5 for.
You're one of the seven people who will get to play it.
No, there's like nine of us now.
Nine.
Yeah.
It's so unruly.
Yeah, Purnell was the ninth. He's the ninth person with a PS5 now. He's never going to play.
Yeah, he doesn't count if he doesn't ever unbox it.
I can't believe he owns a PS5 and hasn't set it up.
You know,
and he's not selling it. He's just sitting on it.
I would like to say I'm surprised by that, but when the Xbox Ones came out, Studa and I were playing on the 360 still, and I couldn't get a One for a few months. Studa had a One sitting in his room on top of his dresser for like 4 months and did not open it until I got mine as well.
Oh.
So there are people who have the power of Job in them and can wait forever. I'm not one of those people. I would have been like, sorry, Studa, fuck you, I'm gone.
No, Root Beer is saying that Days Gone was the second best-selling Sony game of 2019 and that lots of people liked it. Well, lots of people didn't like it as well, to be fair.
Yeah, it was.
That
it
is a very big, divisive game.
Yeah. And I mean, hey, everybody likes what they like. Have you ever heard the shit that I give kudos to on this game, on this show? So, I mean, like, games are just naturally divisive. And that's fine. But I've heard more people who complained against it than rallied for it. So my perceived bias is it was bad. Yeah. You know, that's just the way that works.
Yeah, also divisive is the Xbox Games with Gold lineup for April.
It's bad.
Because, wow, a lot of people are not happy with this lineup. Xbox 360, decent enough. Dark Void for the first half of the month. Hardcore Uprising for the second half of the month. Then Xbox One is where things get funky.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not necessarily bad games. It's just the second one has become a meme, basically. Because the first game is Vikings, Wolves of Midgard, which is a pretty solid Diablo-style hack-and-slash action-adventure RPG. Good stuff. And then the other game is Truck Racing Championship.
Wow.
What the fuck? And the worst is that they're claiming this is still a $60 game. Like, they're still selling Truck Racing Championship at $60 price tag. That should be 20 tops.
Yeah, that's an oof. That's an oof. I tend to be a little more forgiving at this point when Games with Gold sucks, because I don't think I've remembered to install a Games with Gold game in, like, a year now.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, oh, look, what's on Game Pass? What's coming out to Game Pass this week? What's on Game Pass right now? I know there's still a handful of people who haven't upgraded to Game Pass, and to them I say, this is your own damn fault now.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is what you've asked for. Is it right? No, probably not. But it is just the Game Pass service is so much better.
Yeah, it drives me nuts, the people who are like, oh, they should just get rid of Games with Gold. Why? Yeah. Because you don't like the games? Because you specifically don't like the games. They should not offer the games to anybody anymore. Yeah. Because let's not forget, when Xbox Live Gold started, you didn't get games with gold. Games with gold were a free added benefit. Everyone's like, oh, well, you're not free because you're paying for the membership. Price of the membership didn't go up when Games with Gold was introduced. So in my eyes, Games with Gold are fucking free.
Yeah, you're paying for that sweet, sweet multiplayer access.
Yeah.
We all
like
know
they did the reverse with PlayStation. Like, for PlayStation Plus, you paid for the games. Specifically, you paid for the games, and then they tacked on the online play. On Xbox, you paid for the online play, and they gave you the games for free. So there's no reason to stop giving the free games. I would like to see the choices get better.
Yeah.
I think everyone would like to see better games get offered, but, you know, they're still free.
Mm-hmm.
So, fuck them. I don't care. Whatever. Yeah. Whatever. That's a $60 game I don't have to buy. So, rock on, Truck Racing Championship. You'll get your day in the sun. But how are you doing? How are things going? How was your week?
All right. I got my Rona shot today.
Did you? How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm not dead.
Are you excited to go through an entire show after having gotten the shot?
No.
Do you think you'll make it?
No. No, not at all. I think I'm going to die about partway through, and then we're going to be like, can I record the rest of the reviews tomorrow?
No, I'm going to make you do the whole thing.
You monster.
I am a monster. Just you wait and see. Just you wait and see. This episode is going to go off without a hitch. No editing. No nothing.
That's flawless.
I'm and not going to get an email late or anything.
Puke under the table. Fine. It's not going to go great. No, I feel surprisingly okay. I can't, like, lift my arm up very far. But other than that, I'm like, yeah, fuck, I'm fine. I took a nap, but also I stayed up till 3 a.m. having an anxiety attack last night. Mm. So I could have been tired from that.
Maybe.
I got a story. If looks could kill, I probably would have been in jail for murder today.
Oh, no. What happened?
When I went to get my shot, I went into the health department, got my paperwork, got a nurse chatted me up with, like, did you have any issues? Or, you know, do you need to sit for 15 minutes or 30? Are you going to be okay? I'm like, no, I should be all right. I'm not allergic to anything. It itches like a motherfucker when I get this, but otherwise I'm okay. And so I got my shot, and I had to go and sit over in this other chair for 15 minutes. When I was sitting there, after I got my shot, I saw a husband and wife come in who I recognized from last month when I got my first shot. I thought, oh, that's good. They've come back for their second one, too. I don't know who they are. I've never met them. Couldn't tell you who they were from Adam. But I will tell you that I remembered this chick because she had her hair up in a very haphazard, messy knot on the top of her head. And that's just something I can't forget because I fucking hate the way that looks. So she comes in with that messy knot on her head, and I'm like, yep, I remember that face. I remember that messy knot. And she's got on a black t-shirt, and it's like got vinyl stamped across of it in silver, says hashtag boss life. And I'm like, I can tell you exactly the kind of Karen she is right now. But I remember seeing her. And, you know, the nurses are, like, going through and, hey, you know, did you have any problems? And they go, oh, no, we didn't have any side effects from the shot, but we did test positive for COVID 24 hours after we got it. That means that last month, those people had been exposed to COVID and still went to a COVID clinic where people who were elderly and immunocompromised were getting vaccinated, took the vaccine. And I remember this chick because I remember when I was spending my 15 minutes waiting, she was at the table directly across from me.
God damn.
Her and her husband sat 6 feet away from me the day before they tested positive for COVID. I have been so incredibly careful through all of this. I have left my house maybe 5 times. I've only seen my doctors through video calls. I have needed blood work. I don't know what the fuck this disease I have is doing to my body because I haven't been able to get my blood work done because I won't go into the office. And all of that nearly went out the window because this dumb bitch went to a COVID clinic after she'd been exposed.
And why are people so goddamn stupid?
And I would like to pretend like, hey, you know, she didn't test positive yet. She didn't know, right? But if she knew enough that she had been exposed to go get tested less than 24 hours later, she knew she'd been exposed when she went into that office.
Yeah.
She knew. And her and her husband both were positive. And I have, like, I walked out. David was waiting in the van. And I walked out after my 15 minutes were up. And I just opened the door of the van. And I looked at him. I said, that fucking bitch. And he just stared at me like, what the fuck are you talking about? Because he had no idea. And then I had to explain the whole story to him. And he was like, holy shit, you could have got sick.
Yeah, that could have been really bad.
Yeah. I was very mad. I'm still mad. And it's like, weighed on me all goddamn day. And like, I keep looking at my kids. I'm like, I could have accidentally exposed them because I just wouldn't have fucking known.
Fuck.
Yeah.
On that note, what's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole. How are you doing?
Episode 666 of the SML Podcast. From biblical times, the number 666 has been associated with the number of the beast. More on that in a minute. In the meantime, I thought we could... Wait. Say that again, Joe. You're playing this intro at the end of the episode? What, you think you're clever or something? Listen here, fucksnort. Actually, fine. We'll do it this way. This is episode 666 of the SML Podcast. This podcast has been brought to you by the numbers 666 and the letters S, Gamma, Gamma, F, U. Also, remember I said something about the beast? The beast is my dick.